I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. From when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, Lord, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. From when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, Lord, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. One more time, hallelujah. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day of my life, from when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, Lord, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting God. Yes, I am leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am safe and secure, for I'm all along. Yes, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright my path grows from from day to day I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and secure from all alarms. Yes, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting.
What have I? Hallelujah.
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have a blessed peace with my Lord so near. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Lord knows I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and secure from all alarms. Yes, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning.
Let's sing that first verse.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting on. What a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting arm. Lord knows I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and I'm secure from all alarms. Yes, I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting arm.
Sister Johanna, and then Sister Joy.
I was just in there and I was thinking about those songs, and it just shows me how much a Christian this age should be encouraged. Like,
right.
What a blessed peace we have, and what a joy divine, and that every day when I wake up, I'm blessed, and I'm just thankful for this place, because even in the song, it's like, every day I'm blessed. It doesn't matter what you're going through.
Right.
The blessing is this revelation. That's and right. I was thinking about Pastor Moore's message last Sunday. Not everyone can have this revelation, and the blessing's just blessings on blessings on blessings.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful because not even just, I know we have the best revelation, but I think we have the best of the best. I think we have the best preachers. We have the best elders. We have the best husbands and wives.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful for this place because that's what gets me through this life, but that's what's going to get me to the next one. And that's
Amen.
What I'm even more excited about. I'm more excited about that I'm looking for the debt every day, and I'm believing
Amen.
That's
yes.
going to happen. It's not just words to me. No, this has been my life. And I may be young, but this is my whole life.
Amen.
My entire life has been based upon this. I've had my parents who've been the best example. I've had my sisters and my brother-in-law. I like my husband and myself. I'm like,
Amen.
I've just been so blessed. And
Amen.
I think about it all the time. And I was so excited when we were talking about those fleas that can jump higher. And I'm glad that this body's not lulled to sleep by
Amen.
This age
Amen.
Because it's such a neurotic
right.
age.
Amen.
But we keep pressing and we're looking for it, and we don't get distracted by the things that a lot of other people, we Pastor Moore has always told us there's one thing on our plate, and I'm thankful for that one thing, and I'm thankful I believe it.
Amen. You can be seated. Go ahead, Sister Joy.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of the days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountain bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. A mountain bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. God bless you. Brother John.
You know, our pastor tells us that God starts talking from the first song on.
Amen.
And I am truly blessed.
Amen. Yes.
And I am truly leaning on the everlasting arms. God is so good to me.
Amen.
You know, Dawn's in Tennessee with Seth and Ryan, and we talked on the phone this morning, and we were just talking about how blessed we are.
Amen.
You know, how blessed we are.
Amen.
You just look at everything. You know, there's trials in life, ups and downs, but we have a revelation.
Amen.
You know, that's what's the difference.
Amen.
You know, when you go through a trial,
amen,
you can look at it two different ways.
Sure.
But you can look at it through your revelation.
Amen.
And you can see that there's gold to be gotten.
Amen.
Pastor has always told us, don't waste your time going through a trial not to find the gold.
Right.
Because
right.
God is giving you something. He's showing you something.
Right.
He is always there.
Amen.
You know, that's a presence that's, you can't even define it. You can't describe it. You can't put your finger on it.
No.
But it's always there. I don't care what time of day, what situation is. He is there.
Yeah.
And that's why we can say, I and my Father are one.
Right.
You know, you read that Bible and you read that New Testament. And you see how clear it is.
Right.
You
Amen.
See how clear it is.
Yeah.
The law is out.
Yes.
Grace is in.
Amen.
And that's what he came to die for.
Right.
You know, we can never forget
Amen.
About that. You know, we can get so revelated and so intelligent. And, you know, I listened to a preacher, the brother who came on Wednesday,
yeah,
his pastor. So I pulled it up online and listened to him. And he said a very wise thing. He said, there's too much intellectualism in this message.
Oh, yeah.
And not enough revelation in this
right.
message.
Yeah.
And I said, that is the truth.
Yeah.
I just thank God. I thank him for the reality of him.
Yeah.
I thank him that He's there and he's real, yes, and he holds us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Leaning on his everlasting arm through everything.
Amen. Amen, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Amen. I was sitting there thinking that there's only been one thing Pastor said lately that I had trouble with, and that was, I'm going out to work in 90-degree weather. No. I would have a tough time with that one. I wanted to give a praise report.
Sure.
And it kind of goes with what he said. Do not worry about the path as long as you know the destination.
Amen.
The path means nothing. It's going to lead you to where you need to be.
Amen.
My mom is still in the hospital. I got the prayer cloth for. But all of her heart tests came back perfect.
Amen.
So I am grateful for that. Amen. Her hip's still broke.
Amen.
But I'm not worried about that because God can take care of that too. But I do have the promises.
Yes.
Of God. That is the most important thing.
Amen.
And I'm really grateful for this. I'm grateful for what he's done. And Pastor Moore was talking about cliques, and that the only one, of course, was Jim. Pastor Moore and Brother Childers both said that one. But the importance of that is that only what you do for Christ will last.
That's right.
So what you say about your brother and sister is what's going to last. Don't
That's right.
be careful what you say about others. Remember, the judgment is, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. What was the key on that? When you do this unto the least, you do it unto me. Everything you do to your brothers and sisters, you're doing it to God himself.
Amen.
You're doing it to the Word. That's what's in each one of the hearts. That's why you don't do those things.
Amen.
That's why the pastor and the ministry is so deadly on that, is because you're touching God when you do those things. Don't do it. Just stay away from it, because only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. We've got a couple of quick announcements. June 11th, Brother Jeremiah will be at Little Bethlehem. So remember that. And then get the money to Brother John for the Wilds. We got that going. I think that's the two. Do we have any other missing? That's it. That's good. Perfect. Okay. We'll get that. Have the brothers come and get the offering. I want to sing page 52 in The Only Believe. He Brought Me Out. Yep. Yeah. Go ahead, Sister Elise.
I don't want to mess with anything.
No.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back, you know.
Yes.
Just those two services feel like forever. And coming here and listening to songs and these amazing testimonies, I am so glad what we have here, you know. I was talking to my mom. You know, a lot of Christians, they have a code of rules, and it's this, you can't do this, you can't do this. We have a relationship with
right.
God. You know, it's a relationship. And
right.
it's just so beautiful to have that, you know, to just have the peace. To be blessed, all these songs, oh my goodness, when you said it's your testimony, it changed it for me. I thank God every day so much. You know, I sing these songs around the house. We Sunday mornings, we don't listen to any other music. Wednesday mornings, we try to get that atmosphere, you know?
Right.
And I thank God so much for what he's done for me, what he's done for my family, you know, that foundation, you know. I love this place so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about the blessings we have. This world is crazy. They have nothing. You know, the littlest thing can turn a person. They make it this big old issue, and they cancel people, you know. I just thank God so much for the peace and the
Amen.
Balance.
Amen.
You know, there is a balance. Yes. On one side, you got to work for it. On the other side, it's just lean into it,
Amen.
You know. And it's so beautiful, because that balance makes it tough for people, because they want to use their intellect, and it takes a revelation to get this. And I thank God every day
Amen.
That I have a revelation, that I can hear it and understand it,
Amen.
And that it's one with me. And I just want to thank God. I don't want to come to service again and not thank God for what he's done for
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Amen. God bless us. At least go ahead, Brother Warren.
You know, the more I come, the more I overcome. I just thank God that I have that revelation, sister.
Right.
Oh, God's a good God, you know. I remember Brother Childers said a long time ago, he looked, I don't know if he looked at me, but he prophesied that I would be there. I couldn't miss this if I wanted to. Lord, I mean, to get confirmation from God
That's right.
that he said that, you know, and then you wonder, why do I battle? You know, I've got it. I've got it made.
Yeah.
And there's another gentleman that said, you know, if you flip, his quote, if you flip to the back of the book, you find that we win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thank God for that.
Amen.
But the thing is, you know, we come here, we get strong. When we eat the food, we get stronger and stronger. And so right now, I say that because, you know, I'm going through a trial right now. But you know what? I'm almost laughing. I mean, I know it can get a lot worse, but still, it's like, devil, give it your best shot. Because, you know, in the end, I've got you.
Amen.
And, you know, that, and so I can hold my head up in the midst of my trial.
Yes.
And, you know, I've got Job to look at. You know, I'm not going through anything as nearly as bad as what Job did. But, you know, I can take comfort. I can take strength.
Amen.
And I can thank my God in the midst of my trial, trials, that,
sure,
you know, I'm an overcomer, and I will see this thing through to the other side.
Amen.
When I'm back on top of that mountain. And so for that, I just thank God.
Amen. Let me jump in here real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, God's been so good, you know. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the promise I have in Him.
Amen.
You know, and I was thinking about some things this weekend. I started running yesterday, and you know how it is when you start running. You're going to die. You're going to die. And I'm sitting there and thinking about, you know, the flesh. You know, it fights. It don't want to do nothing. You better have some fight in you. You'll never make it 10 feet trying to run, you know. And a lot of people that get out there and they think, you know, they can't get past, can't push past it, you know. But you got to have enough fight in you to push past it. You know, not just running, but in serving God. Because the devil hits you flat in the face. He'll take your breath away. He'll wear you out. And I'm sitting there and thinking about my flesh, you know. And starts off, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, I'm too old for this. Who are you trying to kid, you know? Of course, I got a confirmation from Adam that he was going to run a Tough Mudder this year. So I thought, well, I better start training. I only got 2 months, you know. And the flesh just sitting there talking, and it didn't go too far, maybe 3/8 of a mile, you know, and it walked for 50 yards or something. But when I started back up, my flesh also remembered, say, you know what, we can do this. You know, if you push past that point, then you can get to a place where you, and I noticed my breathing kicked in, you know, my heart, you know, settled down, you know, and my rhythm, got my rhythm back and everything, and I'm thinking, yeah, I remember, you know. And David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, and every time you come to church, it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, because the devil, like it or not, he crawls up on your back and he's like a leech, you know, through the week. As much as you try to get by, you're just influenced by the world and things you got to do and all. But when you come back in here and you realize, I can do this.
Yes.
You know, you come in and you're thinking about, I ain't done nothing right. I have failed in everything in my whole life, you know. Of course, the devil bring everything up and make up a few things besides. And but then you come in here and you realize it's not about me.
Not about me.
It's
right.
About His promise. Nothing compared to that promise that I have in Him.
Amen.
So I'm so thankful that it is Him.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that He's given me a push and a desire and enough of revelation to see by faith far enough ahead that I can take that next step, and I can make it.
Amen.
And He's made it for me, but yet I'm making it. He's
Amen.
Making it through me.
Amen.
Every day, you know. He's got the thing written. I've already looked in the back of the book. I know how the story turns out.
Amen.
He's already given me the down payment,
but
yet He's acting it out through me. I'm playing the part.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for just a revelation, just a sober mind that in such a chaotic world, I appreciate everything that God has ever done.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Belinda, you'll be the last one.
You know, when I woke up this morning and started on my way, I have a God that said, Belinda, you can go. You can go. You can go. No matter what, you can go. And go what? Go through whatever you have
Amen.
To go through on this
whatever
side.
Comes.
You know, this was a wonderful week. I give God all the praise. He saw me through this week. You know, I was going to call Brother Moore the other day. And, you know, this word settles you down when you may not get what you want, but God wants something else.
Amen.
Do you manifest Christ in your life? Those are the questions sometimes you ask yourself, or, you know, as a believer. And, you know, this message, when I walked in here this morning, is such a sweet spirit in our church. You know, there's a, Brother Moore wants the sanctuary to be have a certain atmosphere, and he wants us to conduct ourselves a certain way here, and we yield to that. And it helps when you walk in here and you can just feel that sweet spirit. You know, I had a ride or die girlfriend go with me down to Tennessee. God bless you, Sister Jennifer. You know, my daughter wanted to move, and, you know, I in my flesh I would say, well, gosh bless you, girl, stay here. This is you're safe here. But it's not all about me. And Brother Moore said, be your daughter's friend, be your children's friend, and it's not about what you want. You know, I'm going to support you as far as I'm going to get you there. You're going to have to take it from there. But, you know, I'm learning that it's not all about me. And everyone's journey is their own. And learning how to let go. And really, God bless, let go. And trust in that letting go. Because sometimes you want to get a death grip on something and say, I know how to do this. And yet, that's not what God said. You give it up. And giving up, really believe that God's got it.
Right.
And trust him 100%. And that's my overcoming. I'm believing and trusting that my children are safe, that they're under my token.
Yes.
And amen, I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, you know, before my friends and my body, that I'm just trusting God.
Amen.
I'm 100% trusting God because it's in the yielding. I've seen that in here. I have examples.
Amen.
My gosh, I have examples of what yielding looks like.
Right.
So I thank God for that. I thank God that we, as the body, we can declare something, that we can step out on faith, that we can believe, that we can overcome.
Amen.
And here, I get that here, and it's such a lovely thing because you can fellowship, true fellowship in oneness, and
right,
true fellowship of like-minded believers.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
God bless Sister Belinda. I want to sing, I was going to sing He Brought Me Out, but I want to sing I Really Love the Lord, page 232, yes, key of C. We'll get Pastor Moore up. Anxious to hear the message this morning. Appreciate it, Brother Nick. I don't know if he ever listens in or whatever, but appreciated him coming to preach on Wednesday night.
Amen.
It was a blessing. It's funny now, we can hear him all. We kind of know what we're looking for. He'll say, I don't know why I'm out here.
I don't know why I'm on this.
Right. I don't know why I'm on that. And we hear that over and over again. It's a kind of general theme when people get up in front of us. I really love the Lord.
I really love the what he's done for me. Oh, you don't know what he's done just for me. Oh, he gave me the victory. Hallelujah. I love. Oh, yes, I love. What he's done just for me. Oh Lord, you gave me the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, I love. Yes, I love. Oh, yes, victory. Oh, I love. Oh, yes, I love him. Oh, I really love the Lord. Oh, you don't know. You don't know what he's done. What he's done for me. Oh, he gave me the victory, and I love, oh, I love him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, when we look into your word and see what you've done for us, the total cost to bring us to yourself, Father, we want to say, Lord, we love you for that. Lord, you've been so true to us. You've given us so much. You've provided all of our needs. You stood in a gap when we were short. You stood there and took the pain, the whipping, the torture, the death. You did all that for us in order to give us the victory. You became sin that we might become your righteousness. And Lord, we stand here today not because of our own righteousness, but because of your righteousness. What you've done for us, what you paid for us, what you gave for us. And we'll never forget, Lord, never forget what you've done. Thank you for the love that you've given us for your word. And ask you, Lord Jesus, as we come here this morning, forgive us for our sins and our problems and our shortcomings. And Lord, help us press towards the mark of the high calling, because that's our heart's desire. We want to be right with you. That's why we come here. We don't come here because we're so good. We come here because you're so good. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for how you've given us so much. You've kept us in this dark hour. You've kept us when we couldn't keep ourselves. And Lord, you give us an opportunity to come back to the house of worship one more time. That we can come in your presence and hear from you, Lord Jesus. That we can step beyond the veil and, Father, look into the holies of holies and see you sitting on the throne. Speak into our hearts.
given us, Lord, direction in our lives, and given us hope when there is no hope, given us healing when we're sick, given us direction when we're lost. Lord, that's what happens whenever we step into this realm with you. And as we come one more time this morning, Lord, we want you to come by here. Speak to me, Lord. Oh, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Father, when we see and talk about how much you've done for us and how good you've been to us, oh Lord, we don't even have words to express the love of God that has been shown abroad in our hearts. But as we open the word this morning, Lord, let us take one more trip through your book. Remind us one more time of who we are. Remind us one more time of our real purpose of being here. Remind us one more time of where we're going from here. Oh, what you've done for me, Lord. You gave me the victory. You gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do it. But Lord, you've done it. You've kept us. You've watched over us. And we love you for that. Lord, we ask you to touch those that are sick today that couldn't be here. Those that are out, that may be out on vacation or away, ask you to be with them, Lord. Lord, those who could be here that chose to stay home, Lord, I pray that you'll deal with their hearts. You've done so much for us. You deserve every praise that we could give you. Every chance that we can come back and say thank you one more time. I don't want to be like the lepers who were healed by you and then went my own separate ways. Forgot about the God that saved them, the God that healed them, the God that kept them. I want to be like the leper that know that you have healed me of my diseases. Lord, you've healed me of all my sin and all of my unbelief. And Lord, I want to come and give you thanksgiving for what you've done. Oh, when I look at all that you've done for me. And the victory that you've given me in this life. You've given me victory over sin and death and sickness and problems. And Lord, you've done it all. And Lord, I want to take this opportunity to come and say thank you one more time. Though the 11 didn't come, though the 9 didn't come, though the 7 didn't come, though the 5 didn't come, Lord, this one is here today. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do. Help us to appreciate it and give you back all that's due to you. Thank you for it all, Lord. Have your way in this service. Lord, I bring Trevor before you. Continue to remember him and Tina and Sister Judy and different ones that have a need. Those that have a need here in this local assembly, Clarice and Anna, Lord, and Dawn, and remember Darsha and Denise, Lord. Oh God, have your way in this service today. Help us to move everything aside and be real with you. Lord, you're real with us. So Father, help us to be real with you. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Another opportunity to come and thank him for what he's done. I am so glad that God doesn't leave us in the dark. Amen. Or in anything. He provides all of our needs. He makes sure that we have everything that we need to get things done. He never leaves us wanting. And he always supplies all of our needs. And I never want to take him for granted. I never want to fail to give him the praise for what he's done. Because he is worthy of it. And no one could have done to us and for us as he has done. And when the rest of the world has gone their own way and moving about this world thinking that they've got it under control, I'm thankful to know that it's not my battle. I'm thankful to know that it's not my war and I don't have to try to do anything, but that He has done it all for me. And when He's done it, He leaves nothing left for us to do. And I am so grateful for that. It is so good to have an understanding. That is the greatest thing you can get. People are going after all kinds of things, but if you can't get an understanding, you have nothing. But if you get an understanding, you may not have the big choirs, you may not have the big churches, you may not have the mayor sitting in your congregation, but I'd rather have Jesus sitting in my congregation. I'll take Him anytime. Most people don't even understand Him when they see Him. They'll come right in their midst and sit right amongst God and not even understand where they're at. Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and He walked the shores of Jerusalem and He walked the countryside and went to the mountaintop and preached to the people. And in all of His preaching, they didn't get it. They couldn't recognize Him. They didn't know it was God. They thought it was this man that was born in Bethlehem called Jesus, who had a mysterious birth and a questionable birth. And his mother was questioning about how He got here. But in all of the things that Jesus showed them, and all the signs and wonders, and all the miracles, and everything that God did for them, in the midst of all of that, they still didn't recognize who He was. And if they didn't recognize Him, then how in the world are going to recognize Him now? Because Jesus is always so much different than the rest of the world. And the thing is, people get caught up in the world, and they get caught up in the world order, and they get caught up in themselves, and they let Jesus slip. And they'll lay Him aside, and they'll take a Barabbas, or take something else in the place of Jesus Christ. And it affects your life. When you're sitting under the sun, you can grow. When you're not sitting under the sun, you can't grow. If you get so far in the Word and you stop growing, you need to ask yourself, am I sitting in the sun? Because you could be in the middle of darkness. But I'm thankful that God comes here each week to speak to our hearts. And it's good to be here. I'm excited. I'm last Sunday, I never got started good. And I got started, but I didn't. And I was actually wanting to put all of this in last Sunday's message, and I didn't get done. I just got started because talking about the day and hour that we're living in, that's a big topic in itself. And I never got past pretty much recognizing your day in this message. So I want to read again the scripture that we read last Sunday in Revelation chapter 1. I want to start here, and hopefully if God gives me strength and grace, we can move on further into the message of the hour. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to read the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of the things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And I want to title this, you know, last week we titled Understanding the Book of Revelation. So I want to title this Understanding the Book of Revelations Part 2. Because I'm still on the same topic and same subject. But I think if you go back, if you didn't get to hear last Sunday's service, you should go back and listen to it. Because all last Sunday's service was showing us about the day and the hour that we're living in. And in order to be able to understand the book of Revelations, you first have to understand the hour that we're living in. And Brother Branham titled it Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. You have to recognize the day, because if you don't know what day you're living in, you don't even know how to respond to the need of the day. In the days of Noah, they had to go into the ark. That was the only answer to the problem for the day. When the Israelites were down in Egypt with Moses, you know, the answer to the mood or the move of the day was that they got with Moses and followed the word out of Egypt into the promised land. That is critical. You must recognize your day. Moses, when he came on the scene, he was the answer to their problem. And it was 400 years since they were promised to come out of Egypt. And it was 400 years to the day that Moses led them out. God doesn't mess up on his timing.
No, not at all.
He doesn't mess up on his days. He doesn't mess up on what he's doing. So in order for you to get with God, you have to find out what he's doing in the day and hour that he's living in. When Jesus was on the scene and he was walking the water and healing the sick and doing those things, you had to recognize that that was God.
Amen.
Well, it won't do you any good to go to Jerusalem today. Though Jesus did walk the shores of Jerusalem, walk the land, though he healed the sick and raised the dead, it would do you no good today to go to Jerusalem, go to the tomb, go to Calvary, go to any of those places and try to find God. Because God is not there now. He's not moving there now. He's moved on to doing something else.
Amen.
When he moved to the upper room, you had to be in the upper room to find out what God was doing for that day. And when they got to the upper room, the 120, what they recognized was that God was fulfilling the scripture as he had promised according to Joel. So they recognized God by what he was doing in the word.
Amen.
And that's how you always find God, is finding him in what he's doing in the word. And during the church ages, they did not find God in the word like we can today, because he was an unseen force, the Son of God. And that was on purpose, because God was building a body. And until he built the body, he didn't want anybody to know what he was doing. He didn't want you to be able to see and recognize the body. But in the day of the Son of Man, it's totally opposite. Not only does he want you to see who he is and where he's at as the Son of Man, you got to do it. And it's required of you to see God where he's standing today.
Amen.
And now that God is here in the Son of Man ministry, the same people who worship God for the last 2,000 years are missing him today, because they are looking for a historical God of Galilee or a historical God of another hour. And because they're looking at yesterday's God, they can't see what the I am presentist is doing. When God was talking to Moses, he told him, he said, tell him I am sent you. It never was about I was. And it's good to recognize what I was.
Amen.
But it's not God's business to let you know what he's done. It's, he wants you to find out what he's doing right now.
Amen.
So when you get to the book of Revelation, this is the last book of the Bible. And God purposely put it here last, because it is the book of revealing. And it's a book to let you know what God had been doing the whole time through the Bible. And he wanted to know, he wanted us in this hour to be able to understand his entire plan. Because if you didn't understand his entire plan, you wouldn't even know who to get up from the dead. You wouldn't even understand who's getting up from the dead. You wouldn't even understand the responsibility that's been placed on our shoulders in the hour that we're living in. Do you realize how much pressure was on Noah in the hour that he lived, when he recognized that he was the only salvation to the entire body?
Amen.
That was pressure.
Amen.
It was pressure when he preached 120 years and nobody got converted.
Wow.
Nobody believed him.
Yeah.
Nobody came and helped him build the ark. It was pressure, knowing that he had the word of the Lord and nobody believed him. Never had rained. Didn't even understand what rain was. Because it never had rained. It never had lightning. It never had thundered. It never had clouds like we have here today. Didn't have any of that. So there was no proof that God was with Noah, only outside of what he spoke and told him that God said. How much pressure it was in the day of Jesus when he's walked the earth knowing he was the fulfillment of the word of God. How much pressure was on him knowing that he was the propitiation for all of our sin and that nobody could pay the price that he had. How much pressure was on him that all man's salvation was dependent on one man's sacrifice. How much pressure was on him when nobody had ever been able to pay the price that was required of him to pay? How much pressure was on him when all the church world was looking at him like he was some false prophet, when he was the only prophet that was on the face of the earth that had all the will of God on his shoulders? How much pressure was it for that man to stand when all the church world turned their back on him? How much pressure did he have when he had to stand there and be rebuked by the religious churches of his day? Accused of being a false prophet when he knew that God had spoke to him. How much pressure was he under when he went to Calvary, when he went over there to the garden and prayed and asked God to take this cup away from him because there was so much pressure on him? But then again, he turned around and said, though it's a lot of pressure, not my will, but thine be done. Think about this in time. How much pressure was it under a prophet who come on the scene when none of the churches believed in what he preached? How much pressure was he under when he had to preach the truth when nobody believed him? Brother Branham would preach and people would turn him down. They would talk about him. They would turn his words around and try to make him say things that he didn't say. They'd try to make him a false prophet. How much pressure was he under to stand strong on the word of God when nobody else around him believed it? How much pressure was he under when the angel of the Lord told him to don't drink, don't smoke, don't run around, because I got to work for you when you get older? And all that pressure that was on him all of his life, God used him. When the church world turned him down, God used him. When the church went the wrong way, God used him. And when all the other preachers, churches, all his minister friends, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, all of them, the world's running after them. And he had to stand there by himself, knowing what he had was given to him by God. How much pressure was he under to stand strong when everything else was crumbling around him? Let's take it another step. What about you? How much pressure is on you to stand when everything else is falling apart? How much pressure are you under when your friends and your loved ones and your families look at you like you're in a cult or don't know what you're doing or don't know what you're talking about, when they can't get an understanding? You're sitting here with a perfect understanding. God has personally spoken to you. And you know it's God. And you can't deny it. And you can't turn it down. And you can't push it aside. When the rest of the world is pushing it aside, you are standing in the middle of all of this pressure.
Amen. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When nobody else understands the book of Revelation, when they interpret it to their own damnation, you stand there knowing the truth. Knowing how God has revealed it to you. That's why John said over here in the book of Revelations, in verse 3, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of these prophets. He was talking to us. He was trying to let us know there is a group of people that are going to stand in an hour when everybody else falls apart. Amen. There is somebody that will be on the face of the earth that will understand the book of Revelation when nobody else understands. There will be somebody that will stand for the truth when everybody else sells it out. There will be somebody who will go all the way when people sell out the word of God. There will be somebody who can stand the pressure. When everybody else falls away. That's to you people. Yeah. Blessed is he. Yeah. There's three things here that he said we must do. And I wanted to talk about these three things. Never got to them last week. But it took a lot of pressure to get us to the point where we can open up the book of Revelation and be able to look at this book and really see what it was that God had been doing the whole way through. Nobody else on the face of the earth could see what you can see. Nobody else on the face of the earth can believe what you can believe. Nobody else on the face of the earth can understand what you understand. That's why John said, blessed is he that readeth. Because when you get to the word of God, you've got to be able to read this thing. It's necessary to read this message. It's necessary for us to be able to read and understand what we read. A lot of people read the book of Revelation, but they don't understand the book of Revelation. But there's a group of people, because we've had a prophet, can read the book of Revelation and really understand what we read. It took a prophet to come on the scene for us to be able to even read this book.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody's got the book of Revelation. It's the last book in every Bible. Gideon hands it out to every hotel. We had the book of Revelation all the time. But when we read it, we didn't understand it, because you can't read this book without a prophet.
Amen.
You can't even understand the book of Revelation without a prophet. That's why it won't be by your studies that you'll understand the book of Revelation. It took a prophet to come on the scene to be able to really read this book like it really reads.
Yes.
And you must be able to read the book of Revelations.
Amen.
We couldn't even wrap this thing up until we were to the place where we could read the book of Revelations.
Amen.
You couldn't wrap this thing up reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh.
You couldn't read this. We couldn't wrap this thing up reading all the New Testament scriptures. It only takes the book of Revelation opening up to the people that allows us to be able to really read this book like it's read.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
He said in Revelation's first couple of verses that we read, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, this is Jesus Christ's revelation.
Yes.
This is his book. This is the only book, Brother Branham said, that Jesus scribed himself and had a prophet to come and write down what he said. That was all. The book of Revelation should all be red letter, Don. It's all red letter. And see how man don't understand the book of Revelation? They didn't put it red letter. Because they didn't think it was Jesus' book. But everything that's in the book of Revelation was coming from Jesus Christ, because that was his book. And in order for you to read his book, you first need to understand who the author is. And because Jesus was the author, Jesus was the only one who knew what was going to be in the book of Revelation. John didn't know. John was just as confused as everybody else. He was just a scribe. It's like taking dictation. If you're taking dictation, you don't know what's in my mind until I speak it, and then I tell you what to write. All John did was wrote what God told him, what God showed him. He didn't have a thing to do with the book of Revelation. So to begin with, you've got to understand whose book this is. This book was the book that belonged to Jesus Christ. No other book in the Bible was written by Jesus himself.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, now, you see, this is a sealed book. Now, we believe that, don't we? Do we not? We believe that it's a sealed book. Now, we never know this before, but it is. It's sealed with seven seals. See, we didn't even know the book of Revelation was sealed. We didn't even have enough to know that we couldn't even see it. Because it was one of the books of the Bible we would read it just like we read the rest of it, but we didn't know the book of Revelation was sealed.
That's right.
It's not, we never knew this before, but it is. It's sealed with seven seals. That is on the back side of the book. The book is sealed with seven seals. If we were talking about that this kind of book, it would be putting a strap around it. Seven straps. He's talking about the Bible, the book. Just a book. He says, but it isn't that kind of book. It's a scroll. And then when the scroll is unwound, that one that's laying right there in the scroll is number two. And right here it says what it is. But it's a mystery. But yet, we have probed in it. But remember, the book is sealed. The book is the book of mystery of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, a book of revelations. And now you know, down through the ages, man has probed and tried to get into it. We all have. Brother Brown said we all have, including himself. We all got into that book of Revelations, but it was a sealed book, and nobody could understand the book of Revelation. And you really, if you don't really see the book of Revelation, you don't really see the Bible.
Right.
It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is the book of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Branham said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. Because you've missed something. Because the whole Bible is surrounding the birth and the resurrection and death and crucifixion and payment of price of Jesus Christ for the bride of all ages. So the revelation holds, the book of Revelation holds the secret of the entire Bible. And it was sealed to mankind, and nobody knew what it was. But John knew that there was going to come a time that somebody was going to understand this book. He knew that there was going to come a time that somebody was going to be able to read it and understand what he wrote. Because John knew, and he could see in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, even though he was scribing it, he could see what was going on in the book and recognizing that there was going to be a falling away. There was going to be a seven church ages. The horses and the beast and all was going to happen. But in the end, the spirit of the bride is going to say, come. And he knew the last final voice to the final age was going to be in the bride. And so John knew that somebody at some point was going to understand this book. He knew that you were going to read it and understand it. He knew that you were going to come on the scene. He already saw you coming.
Amen.
In the middle of all the pressures of this life, there was going to be a little bride that raised up. Amen. There's going to be a little somebody that come on the scene that's going to be able to see this book for what it really was.
Amen.
And that didn't happen until evening time. This book was sealed with seven seals. Just to keep moving. Chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel come and proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open a book and to loose the seals thereon? See, nobody could do it. The book was sealed. The book of Revelation is the one book of the Bible that nobody could get their hand on. Oh, we had all the other books. And all the other books were sealed because of the book of Revelation. We probed at the entire Bible because the book of Revelation was sealed. We didn't know how to read it. We didn't know it was sealed. We were so dumb, we didn't even know the Bible was sealed. We read the Bible, we read the symbols, and thought we knew what we were talking about. And in all of our reading, we got a Trinitarian God. In all of our study, we got a false water baptism. In all of our studying, we got churches and we got lodges and we got places where people gather. And that's all we got out of the Bible. Bunch of law, bunch of tradition, bunch of rules, judging each other after each other, comparing ourselves with ourselves. That's all we got out of it. 2,000 years of Bible reading, and that's all we got out of it. The church world, when you look at it, this is the best we got out of the Bible. Gold chalices, high priest, long robes. That's the best we got. 2,000 years of mystery, and that's all we got out of it. Church is in worse shape now than it was when Jesus was here. But it's more deceiving than it's ever been. But John knew that we had to get this book open, and it was sealed with seven seals, and we couldn't even begin to understand how to get the seals off because we didn't understand the seals were on. In the end time, we didn't expect a prophet and look for a prophet because we weren't expecting one. We had interpreted the Bible in such a way that prophets weren't until John. So we weren't even looking for prophets. Amen. Though God put it in the fivefold ministry, we overlooked that. We thought prophets were people who just came and read your hearts and told about your history and told about your sicknesses and prayed for you and got you healed. That's what we looked at as a prophet. But those are minor prophets. They're in a body and it's still part of the body, but we're not talking about a minor prophet. We're talking about the prophet that Jesus talked about in Luke that was going to come. The Son of Man coming on the scene, the fullness of the Word coming on the scene. Somebody who could actually read the book of Revelation. Book was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim, "Who is worthy?" And no man in heaven, and in nor in earth, neither under the earth, were able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Couldn't even look at it. We could not really even look at the Bible like it really is. Amen. Without the opening of the seals, we probed at the Bible. We've done that for 2,000 years. We didn't know how to read it. That's why John said, "Blessed is he that read it." Because we read it, but didn't understand. What did that Ethiopian say to Philip? He's sitting there, just got out of church, just riding on his way back home. And Philip was called up from one meeting and appeared on the road. See, that's how much Holy Ghost Philip had. They didn't say he took a horse and rode. He just was in a meeting. And next thing you know, it says he's on the side of the road. He just showed up. And he saw this Ethiopian riding on by, and he said, "Hey, thumb to ride. You understand what you're reading there?" He said, "How can I? Except some man come and show it to me." That right there should tell us, you can't get this on your own. People think they're going to get so much God. See, people have fallen off the bandwagon left or right because they think their God is more important than the God that is in skin. He said, "I can understand this unless some man come and show it to me. Read it, explain it." See, you can't just read the Bible and get an understanding. You won't do it. You couldn't do it before we had the book of Revelation open. You couldn't have done it. People read the Bible and got false water baptism, false Godhead, false everything. Messed up. The church is ruined. It's messed up. It's in an awful state. And that's the best out of 2,000 years. "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book nor to loose look thereon. And one in the elder said unto me, Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open a book and to loose the seven seals thereon." Only one. Only one. Nobody can loose the seals but him. The same one that made the seals is the same one that loosed the seals. The only one that hid it is the same one that revealed it. That's why John didn't do it. John wept. He cried. He said, nobody can do this. Now here John is, John the Revelator, sitting there with God of heaven explaining to him everything. And John was weeping as he was writing because he's like, who's going to do this? We cannot finish this thing without this book being open because this book will reveal the entire plan of God from the beginning. And nobody knows what's in here and we can't even read it. And John knew, he knew just reading the Bible, reading the scrolls, reading even what he writes in the book of Revelation. He knew, he said, just reading that alone is not going to get it. You need the seals ripped off. You need the word ripped off. You need the word sent down here so that you can understand what you're reading. That's why it wasn't about just reading the Bible. See why I couldn't do all this last week?
just talking about reading. It's just not anybody who can read the book of Revelation.
That's right.
You can read the book of Revelation and get an understanding, because it doesn't read like a storybook. The Bible doesn't read like a storybook. Revelation doesn't read like a storybook. You got things God's talking about in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Brighton moves out of here in chapter 4. The opening of the seals in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, to over to 13, talking about the United States, going over to the 19, talking about the bride, talking over to 21. You can't just read this thing like a book, because it jumps around. It moves around. And somebody's got to be on the scene to be able to help you to read it. And you can't read this by yourself.
Amen.
It's sealed with seven seals. And over there in Amos chapter 3, one scripture, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants the prophet.
Amen. Amen.
So if he's going to do something mighty,
right,
like open the seals,
right,
you need a prophet. Because
right.
God's not going to come and just give it to you.
Amen.
God has a way. God's got an order.
Amen.
God's got an order in everything. God's got an order in the way he brings us his word. God's got an order in the way that he runs his church. God's got an order in the way he runs your home. God's got an order in the way he runs your life. It's an order to everything. You won't hear from God without a prophet. That was God's promise. And in the church, you won't hear from God without the fivefold ministry. That's God's order. And in a home, you won't hear from God without a man. Whether it's your husband or your pastor, you will hear from a man. You can't get God outside of that. You say, well, I can get God. I can study. I can do all these things. People try to get God on their own. Sorry, God's got an order. You can't get around God's order. You might think you know how to run this church better than me, but you know what? I'm sorry. You can't get around God's order. You might, wives, think you got a better idea than your husband, but I'm sorry. God's got an order. Children, you might think you got a better idea than your parents, but God's got an order. So whatever you want to do, God will never bypass his order to satisfy your lust.
Amen.
He won't bring it to you without a prophet. That's why we needed a prophet at the end time, because God would have to have a prophet on the scene so that he can open the seals and give those seals to a prophet. He doesn't just open the seals and give them to you. Remember, Israel was out there and they thought that they had as much God as Moses. And they said, Moses, we want to hear from God. And Moses like, no, you don't want to hear from God. And they're like, no, we have got as much right for God as you do. You ain't nobody special. You don't have nothing. You don't have nothing more than I do. You put your pants on the same way I do. So Moses went over to God and said, hey, children of Israel want to see you. God's like, bring it on. Tell them tomorrow. Come to the mountain tomorrow. And I'll talk to the children. They got it all cleaned up and they got on their Sunday best and they got all spiritualized and like Lee said, listen to Christian music, and they got all pumped up and they were ready to go. They probably had the marrying and all. They had the tambourines going. They got the trumpets going and got the music rocking, and they rocked and rolled all the way to the foot of the mountain. And they got over there and ran into God. And the lightning started. And the thunder started. And the earth started shaking. And the animals started dying when they touched the mountain. And everything started happening around. And children was like, oh my goodness. Moses, why don't you go talk to him? So God made a promise then. He said, okay, I understand how this works. I'm too much for you. So I'm going to filter myself to you. I'm a filter. I'm going to dumb myself down. I will take my word and I'll give it to a prophet. And then once the prophet gets it, then he'll give it to the ministry. And they will minister it back unto you. That's how you're going to get it. That was God's promise, because God's too great for us. God's too much for us. So you will not get anything from God until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. So if God made that promise and did the same thing every time he moved from that day forward, how in the world do you think he's going to end the world without bringing a prophet on the scene?
Right, right, right.
One of the biggest moves that God's going to make is to bring this world to a close. And he's not going to do it without a prophet. Matter of fact, he's not even going to deal with Israel without a prophet. Right. Remember, he's got the two prophets going back to Israel? He don't even deal with them without a prophet. But at the end time, God said he will give us a prophet. And God always brings us a man on the scene to help guide us through. How can I understand what I read unless some man interprets it to me? That's God's way. So to be able to read, you have to, number one, find the prophet. You say, well, I don't believe in prophets. Then you can't read the book of Revelation. Well, I got a good bishop, and that bishop went to theology school, and they have a lot of good knowledge about the book of Revelation. That's fine, and that's Dan, and that's good, but where's your prophet? God won't move without a prophet. John said, you've got to be able to read this, and in order to read it, you need somebody to be there between you and God to interpret what it means. When God ripped the seals off, he sent them down his word. And he sent it to his prophet. And you say, well, I don't believe we need a prophet in the hour we're living in. Then you can't understand the book of Revelation. You're automatically knocked out. You say, well, I'll go home and study it. Study all you want. I'll go home and get all the theology books, and I'll read up on it, and I'll read all the commentaries about the book of Revelation. Read all you want. All you end up with a 2,000-year-old church mess. All their education, all their smartness, that's all they got. But when God sent a prophet on the scene, and that prophet came, he got the revelation from God himself. Right. Remember Brother Branham at the opening of the seals? He had his own ideals of the seals. He was just like everybody else. He wasn't special in that sense. He had his ideals like everybody else had their ideals. But when God come to him, and God told him what each of those seals were each day, God had to explain to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham had to lay his thinking down and take up the word of God and preach us. He told us that one seal, he said, I was going to make a terrible mistake. I was going to come out here, and I was going to tell you what I thought it was. And I thought it was one thing, and come to find out when the angel of the Lord came into the room with me this morning, he told me exactly what it was. And when the angel comes and tells you what it is, you got to take what the angel says. Yeah. Right. Amen. So you can't read the book of Revelations without a prophet.
Amen.
Sorry. You say, I'm smart. It won't be your smartness. I'm educated. It won't be your education. There's people with doctors of divinities that don't read the book of Revelations about. And the thing about it, a lot of them know about William Branham. A lot of them have their books in their study. A lot of them know what he said about the book of Revelation. And they use it in their messages. And they use it, but they don't tell you where you got it from. So, oh yeah, you can read the book of Revelation, but that ain't all of it. You got to be able to read it. Number one, you can't without a prophet. But after you read it, it's just they that hear it. It's not just enough to read. Remember I said that's all three things you got to do. To be able to understand the book of Revelation is all three things you got to do. And the second part of that is hearing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he lamented a certain day, saying in David, today, a song as after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Number one, you got to be able to read it. Can't without a prophet. If you don't have a prophet, I don't worry about what you read. Number two, you got to have an ear to hear. Every church age had an ear to hear. Every believer has an ear to hear. Every believer, not just some. You say, oh, but I can read it, and I can't. I don't know if I have an ear to hear. Every believer has an ear. Jeremiah just said, my sheep, hear. My sheep, hear, period. But what? My sheep hear my voice. You'll pick God up. When I first heard this message, it wasn't me being so smart. I don't have what I have because I was so smart. I have what I have because God blessed us to have an understanding. Amen. He gave us an ear to hear. When I heard the word of God, I knew I didn't have that.
Right.
Oh, I'd been to church. Oh, I'd spoken tongues. Oh, I did the things with the signs and wonders and had the emotions and all that. But when I heard the word of God, that I had never heard before.
Amen.
Because I hadn't had a prophet.
Right.
See, if you're a believer, when you hear the prophet, you will follow the word.
Amen.
You will. It's not even optional.
Right.
Oh, you might get tired sometime. Oh, you might get mad. You might not like everything you see. You might not like everything you hear. You're not going to want to go. Jesus didn't want to go along with it. But because you can hear and you know it's the word of God.
Amen.
You don't have any other place to go. That's what Jesus asked Peter. Do y'all want to go with him? The 70 left, you want to go with him? Peter said, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. We can hear you.
Yeah.
We don't hear the high priest. The high priest's got all these things in his head. He's got all this mixed up ideas. But you're preaching word upon word upon word upon word. When you find a man that's preaching a word upon word, you better stay with that man.
Amen.
Because that man got it from the prophet, and the prophet got it from God. That's why I can't get ahead of Brother Branham. Because everything I got from Brother Branham.
That's right.
That's God's way. Everything I learned from Brother Childers. That's God's way. He'd shake my hand on the way out of church towards the end of his ministry and life. He'd shake my hand and say, the great message, where'd you get that? And I said, I had a good teacher.
That's right.
I always gave him credit because with Brother Childers, I wouldn't have what I have if it hadn't been for your message.
Amen.
And we wouldn't have what we have if it hadn't been for the love of Jesus Christ shedding this message abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
You're not getting this because you're so smart and wise.
Right.
But shake yourself. Don't just get it and read it. You got to hear. John chapter 10. And understand. Chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, Jeremiah. And they follow me. My sheep. You don't have to. That's why I don't have to worry about you. I have to go follow you home. See what's in your refrigerator. See what's in your kitchen. See what's in your garage. Then I have to check everybody's cell phone when they come in. What's this picture, Jay? What's it? What's that? That don't look like a sister. Don't need to go to your cell phones. Don't need to follow you around. Don't try. You don't have to manufacture Christianity. You hear the word.
That's right.
And when you hear the word calls to you.
Yes.
And you follow it.
Amen.
That's how it works. You have an ear to hear. Thank God you have an ear to hear. Thank God that you want to be right.
Yes.
See, a lot of people, they don't want to be right.
No.
I want to be right. You want to be right. Oh, we press and we push and we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up. We had troubles here, we had troubles there because you're human. But that doesn't mean you don't have an ear to hear. Your heart's desire is to please God at all times. That's the truth of a real believer.
Yes.
A real believer wants to serve God.
Yes.
Oh, I could be out doing something else today.
Yes.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
I could be out picnicking or doing something else, anything else than sitting here in this church.
Right.
Anything I could do. But I want to be here.
Right.
My desire to be here. I could come here and sit on the bench and not give back. I can come here and act like I'm not a part of this and just let it roll by me. You can sit and watch the parade or you can get in it.
Amen.
You can come to church and sit here and act like you're a believer and everybody around you will think you're a believer or you can get up and be identified. That's why you need to testify. You need to testify to be identified. Let somebody know what side you're on. Sometimes the devil try to keep you quiet just so you act like you're on his side. But when you're quiet, and you're quiet too long, it should make you start wondering. You know, if I lay in bed long enough and the sun comes up, after a while I start wondering if I just lay there and lay there and lay there and like, sooner or later I'm going to say, what time is it? You come to church and you sit and you sit and you sit and you don't get involved. You're not a part of it. And you're sitting on the sidelines and everybody else getting blessed and rejoicing. And you're just sitting there quiet, bumping along. Sooner or later, you should find and ask yourself, what time is it? What am I doing? Shake yourself. You know, Samson, he was a man of God. He had all kind of troubles and problems in his life. And he ran into a place where he told his secret of his health and his strength. And he got sold out. But then he got into prison and cut his hair off and blinded his eyes. And he was in a terrible shape. He was in a horrible position. But Samson one day remembered, wait a minute. Hold on here. I ain't worrying about my circumstances right now. Shaking myself. Wait a minute. God told me if I just would let my hair grow, then I would have the strength of God on my side. And he said, wait a minute. I may be blinded and caused a lot of problems in my old life, but something about it, when God promised me something, I can shake myself. And that's what Samson did. He got into a mess. He got into a fix. He didn't know how he was going to get it. He was stuck for life.
Yes, sir.
But he was still the son of God. So I don't care how stuck you are. I don't care how blinded the world might have made you. I don't care how many chains they have on you. I don't care how many pillars they put on the other side of you and lock you up and tell you you can't go nowhere. I don't care how much they tell you you're not going. You need to shake yourself.
Amen.
Don't just sit here and die. Shake yourself.
Amen.
Samson said, just once more, Lord. Just once more. Just give me the strength one more time. And that's what you should say.
Amen.
Lord, just one more. Don't let me sit here and die on the rot on the vine. Don't let me sit here and die up and dry up.
No.
Do you know the first thing that happens when the vine dies? The plant's not the fruit's not the first to dry up. It's the vine. The nutrients. You stop eating. You stop being nourished. You stop getting your strength. You stop getting your water. Satan's going to cut you off at the vine first. And then after he cuts the vine off, then it's going to start affecting your fruit.
Amen.
You're not going to be so joyous. The joy of the Lord won't be so much. Right. You'll come to church, but you'll just come to church. Come you'll just go through the motions, and you're just doing, I got to preach. Get up here. Read the scripture. It ain't helping nobody. And you're just dying, dying, dying. You need to get yourself shaken.
Amen.
And you know it. Nobody knows it but you. You're the first one to know when you're drying up. You're the first one to know when you're drying up. You're the first one to know when you stop testifying. You're the first one to know when you start just mouthing the song because it's not really coming from your heart. You're just moving your lips so nobody won't bother you. You're the first one to know when you're not eating the whole word of God and you're only taking a piece. You're the first one to know when you start moving your seat to the back on your way out the door. You're the first one to know when you start making other plans other than the house of God and the word of God. You know that. Restore to me, Lord,
amen.
The joy of my salvation.
Amen.
Restore the joy. Remember how good it was. How good it felt to come into the house. How good it felt to come into his presence. How good it felt to testify and let somebody know how good God's been to me.
Amen.
Rejoice, restore that unto me.
Yes.
Don't let me sit here and dry up.
Well,
hear his voice. My sheep will hear. And I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
Brother Branham said here, said, but to all that's got their names on the book of life, God will call.
Amen.
They'll hear it. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Only thing we've got to do is make the sheep call. Goats don't know it. Notice. But you see, the sheep call, my sheep are my voice. Why? What's the voice? I want to tell you what the voice is. A voice is a spiritual sign. When you hear his voice, the spiritual sign is that you're going to follow it. You're going to do what it says. When God talks to you, you're going to follow what he says. He said to Moses, if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, they will hear the voice of the second sign. My sheep hear my voice. When these things are supposed to be taking place in the last days, the sheep of God recognize that. Yes, sir. They recognize it. My sheep know me, see? Strangers they won't follow. Don't follow them, strangers. It's got to be a vindicated sign of the day, and they'll see it. The sheep will see the vindicated sign of the day. They'll know the hour we're living in. Especially this hour. Now that the book of Revelation is open, we can read it. And we can hear it. And we are part of that movement that God's using in the last day. Over there in Revelation 2, he said, he that hear, he that has an ear. See, every believer has an ear to hear. Every believer will hear. Every believer will step out on the word as they hear it. It doesn't take you 6 months to get corrected. All you got to do is hear the word one time. It's like, Brother Branham said, the bride will turn quickly to the word. She hears the word and she recognizes the truth and she judges herself by that and says, Lord, I'm short. I need to move up a little bit. I do all the time. I look at myself. When I hear the word of God, I'm not hearing the word of God and judging you. I'm hearing the word of God and judging me. I'm saying, Lord, I'm short here. I can do better here. Lord, I can do better here. Lord, I can do better here because I hear your word.
Amen.
I'm trying to do what your word says. John chapter 8, Jesus asked the people, says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. See, there's people that cannot hear the word of God. If you can hear the word of God, you should thank God. If you can hear the word of God and really hear the word of God, because you know God's talking to you.
Amen.
I mean, it's a good thing. You know what? What makes me feel good is when I hear God talk to me and I step out on it. I am never so happy as when God speaks to me and I know it's God and I do what he says. And that makes me happier than anything this world can offer me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. They can give you a lot of stuff. But when God speaks to me and I step out on what he said to me, oh my goodness, there's no better feeling. There's no better rest. And it makes me walk better, makes me talk better, makes me smile, makes my chest go out. I'm like, man, I'm a walking, talking, manifested son of God. That's what the bride wants. We're not here just slide in under, barely make it. We want to do the best we can to serve God. Oh, do you do it all right? No. But when I do it wrong, I repent and want to try to do it right and try to do it better. And if I don't get it the first time, I'll do it the next time. God forgive me. And you mess up again. God forgive me. You mess up again. God forgive me. I die daily because I'm trying to do the will of God. It's in my heart. That's my desires to please God. I don't do this for the retirement. I do this because I want to please God. The believer wants to please God. The bride wants to please God. She wants to be found right in the middle of his word.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. The rest of the world ain't like us. They can't hear his voice. They can't hear the word. They have no idea what God's doing. And here God just speaking, 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 constantly talking to us. We are so blessed to receive what we get here. We're so blessed to be able to have the word of God talk to us. We're so blessed to be able to have God come and move into the congregation amongst the people, service after service after service. They can't hear it because it has no place in them. He said, ye are of your father the devil. If you can't hear, you're of the devil. Simple as that. If you can't follow the word of God, simple as that, you're of the devil.
Amen.
If you don't go all the way, simple as that, you're of the devil. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's why they talk about you. That's why they backstab you. They try to kill your influence. That's why they do that. They're of their father. He was a murderer from the beginning. People think the only murderous people's got guns. People kill all the time. All the time. And the cell phone is the devil's playground. You can kill somebody's influence like that in the hour that we're living in. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in a truth, because there is no truth in him. When you have part truth, it's no truth. You say, well, they had part truth down in the ages, but look, he sat there on the throne as a mediator between their part truth. And because of the part truth, he stood there and was the gap between their false truth and 100% truth. It was Son of Man in every age. What they lacked in truth, he made up in his blood. Jesus paid the price for the difference between our unbelief and his belief. So it wasn't, when you look at this church ages and these messengers, don't look at them as part truth. Because their part plus Jesus, if it's a dollar that you're looking for, and I got 90 cents, and Jay says, I only got a dime. Give it here. I got 100% of it. When you look at the church ages, don't look at Luther as just a part. Luther was 100% of what he needed. Because Jesus Christ made the difference. Luther had 25 cents, and Jesus had 75. It says, and because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. In Revelations chapter 2, all the way down through, we won't read them all. You know they're there. In chapter 2, every person in the book of Revelation, every age, had somebody with an ear to hear. Every age. They all heard. You think you're just special because you're hearing. Every age. Do you realize the Holy Ghost is the same in every age? The Holy Ghost came in every age to quicken the word for that age. I love my understanding. Because even that statement stimulated me. Because they only had a part of a revelation, just a little bit. The Holy Ghost quickened that word. So they got 100% quickened of everything they were supposed to have for that age. And they weren't shorted anything. They were born again on that part where they were born again with everything that God had for them. They weren't short. Not as we count them as short. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It might be that millions will hear these words or read them. Okay, Brother Benham included that. But how many will pay heed to them? That we do not know. But he who will lend his ear and wants to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. Now that is the work of the Spirit. I can teach you the truth. But if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. I can preach all I want today. And you can sit here and listen to me and not believe what I'm telling you. Or say you got a better idea or you got a better way. Or, oh, Brother Moore, just don't really understand my situation. It ain't about me. It's about you hearing the Word of God. I know when I'm preaching is the Word of God. I know that for a fact. Amen. The question is not if I'm preaching you the Word of God. I settled that long time ago. You should have too. The question is, are you going to act upon what you hear?
Right. 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 There it is.
Okay, the third of these three, because I'm not going to keep y'all like I did last week. The third is they that keep. And I got this thought when I was listening to Jeremiah the last time he preached on he was talking about keeping. And I thought, that's just one of them. But it's the most important. All of them are important, but the third one is keep. And I went back to the dictionary, like Jeremiah did. Keep. Have or retain possession of. Second definition is cause to continue in a specified condition, position, course, etc. Keep. Hold on. But then I got another set of definitions. What does the word keep mean in the Bible? I looked up the Bible definition of keep. Now listen. This is the Bible definition according to the Bible people. Keep means to guard, preserve, to be faithful to, and maintain. God has given man power to carry out the responsibility that has been given into his hands to have dominion. There has got to be a group of people at the end time that's going to keep this word. It's given you the authority, the position. It's given you the position to guard and preserve what you read in this book of Revelation. Right. It ain't just reading it. Right. You have to guard and preserve it. You got to keep it. Yeah. Because nobody else is. Yeah. The rest of the world has gone crazy. They've lost their ever-loving mind. They're not trying to keep the word of God. They're not trying to keep the book of Revelation. John was telling us, blessed is he that readeth and they that keep. Keep the words of this prophecy. Hold on to it. Don't back off. Don't turn around. Don't turn away. Preserve it. Hold it in. You know how do you preserve something? My mother used to preserve pears. You take them and you put them in a jar. And she put that little wax on top. Remember that, Mel? Put that little wax on top. And then she put that ball cap on top. And when you put it on there and the pears are hot, you put them over to the side. After a while, you hear pop. Sealed. Amen. Preserved. Kept. God's given us something here in this hour that we must preserve and keep. Amen. He didn't leave it to himself. Jesus already had this. Amen. But John said, you keep it. You preserve it. This is for you, little bride, because this is going to be something that's going to be given for the end time. When you can keep these things that you're learning, that you're reading and understanding, when you keep these things, preserve these things, then the time is at hand. There's going to be somebody on the scene that will be able to keep this thing. I told Brother Childers years ago, I said, I'm going to keep this revelation that the angel gave you in your bedroom. I'm going to make sure it's being preached here. I'm going to preserve it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to keep it right here. And it's just not just me. It's your responsibility too. It's not on my shoulders. It's on our shoulders. The bride, the spirit and the bride are the one that's saying come, not the pastor. You got as much responsibility to keep this as I do. Y'all look at me, if I come in here on Sunday morning and decide, well, I don't feel like I want to preach today. I don't feel like I want to play the organ. I won't sing. Y'all wouldn't let me get away with that. So why do you think you can do it? Why do you think it's fair for you? Why do you have a double standard here? You come expecting God to speak. You just don't expect him to speak through you. When I come, I'm looking for God in the whole body. Amen. I'm not just looking for, well, church was fine, but now the pastor's up, God's here. No, God's here with the first testimony. God's here with the first song. God is in his people. Amen. You are a part of his body. You need to preserve what God has given to you. Don't just take it for granted that it's going to always be here. This is not guaranteed, people. Amen. Remember COVID? Right. You had to preserve your preserves at home. Right. You had to keep it at home. You had to keep God alive in you when you couldn't come to the house and get fanned by your brother and your sister. You sat there and watched on the internet and you got what you could, but you had to fan the fire yourself. There's a lot of people who stopped coming to church after COVID. But here you are, keeping, preserving, holding that which God has given you. And you are doing this. And it's not me. It's not, oh, Brother Moore, you're keeping this message. No, I'm doing my part. Are you doing your part? It's on all of us. So when John's talking here in the book of Revelation, he's talking to not just me. He's talking to all of us. Okay. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Rather, he corrected her, Rather, blessed are they that hear the words of God and keep it. He wasn't worried. Jesus was not worried about Mary. Never have been worried about Mary and feeding him. God raise up somebody. He wasn't worried about Mary. And this lady's like, oh, blessed is Mary. Blessed, just like Rome's doing now. Blessed is Mary. Blessed is Mary. She's blessed amongst all women. Jesus said, blessed is he that hears my word and keep it. That's the one that's blessed. That's the one that's blessed. So God's wanting you to keep his word. He don't want you to just come and hear it and go home and forget it. You know, it's like the Bible talking about a man looking in the mirror. And walks away and forget what manner of man he is. When you come to the house of God, this is the biggest mirror in your life. And when you look into this mirror, it should show you exactly where you are. If your tie's crooked, I was getting dressed and I looked at Melly, got this big mirror in our house, and I looked in that mirror and my tie's a little crooked and off a little bit, and I straightened up. What if I saw it and said, hi? Never did nothing about it. That's what people do at church. They come to church, they hear God's word, and they're like, all right. What manner of man would that be? When you're looking in the mirror and it tells you something's wrong, you're supposed to fix it.
Amen.
You fight. See, this is a fight, people. This is not to keep something, you got to fight for it. You fight every inch of the way. God down in Egypt gave Palestine to the Jews, but they fought every inch of the way. God told Joshua, everywhere the soles of your feet rest, that have I given you. Footsteps meant victory, possession. And just as far as you can climb into the kingdom of God, if you want to climb in the kingdom a little piece and say, well, I believe I'm not have to go to hell, but I believe that I'll be saved at the end if I join church. You ain't got much ground yet. But every promise, the Bible is yours.
Amen.
But you've got to fight every devil guard away from it. And with a two-edged sword and claim it for yourself. Be perseverant, walking right into it. Don't let nobody take your crown.
Amen.
You say, nobody can take my crown. You can give it up. You don't have to be defeated to walk defeated. You say, that don't make sense. Yes, it does. Anybody who stumbled and fell know what I'm talking about. You can walk around here defeated, even though you own the kingdom. You're sick and you need healing and you don't ask God because you don't feel like you're worthy. So you don't pray for it. And you say, I don't know, God, I know you're a healer. I believe you. You're a healer, but I don't deserve it. Then you sell yourself short. Cash that check. Says you may not deserve it. And we don't. None of us deserve it. But because he said I can have it. You said I can have it. You said I can claim it. You said it belonged to me. You said it's children's bread. You said you promised you were going to do this for me. You promised you're going to come again. You promised you would see me through. You promised you'd make a way out. You promised you'd always open a door. You promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You promised you were coming again. You promised you'd be with me, even in me, to the end of the world. Because you said it, I believe it. I heard you. I read it in your word, and I believe that thing. And I'm going to keep those promises. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire.
Yes.
Belongs to me.
Amen.
Jesus said over in John, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. We're keepers of the command. Now that the book is open, now that we could read it, and now that we can actually see it and understand it, and now we can keep it. Why wouldn't we want to keep this? People give it up all the time. They walk out of this church all the time. Well, this ain't for me. You're not a keeper of the word.
Right.
Now, you see, after you become a Christian, many people think, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and that settles it. And I have to do, and all I have to do is say, well, glory to God, everything's mine. No, sir, you're mistaken. You hear that? These are these people who walk out of here thinking, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. Right. Or people think, I believe the prophet, so I'm okay. I can go home and sit down. I can go and do this, and I can go and do that. I can go out here and sin and just be in the world and of the world and act like the world and be the world, and I'll be okay because I'm all right because I believe this. Well, after I become a Christian, that settles it. All I have to do is just say, well, glory to God, everything's mine. No, sir, you're mistaken. You fight every inch of ground that you take. That's why we don't have weak Christians around here. Y'all been fighting. Somebody around has been fighting. God told Israel down in Egypt, I gave you the promised land. But he told Joshua, when he went in, everything that the soles of your feet tread on, I give to you. It was already given to them, but they had to fight every inch of it. In other words, footprints meant possession. Just keep walking. Now, they had to fight it, but God gave it to them. God has given this to us, but you're not going to go on just skating in. You're going to have to fight for every inch you get. Every revelation you get, you're going to have to keep that thing and hold it in possession and preserve it.
Amen.
Now, God's not going to just pat you on the back and just let you go out your way and do your own thing and then say, well, it's all okay. No, it's not okay. You're going to have to hold up something. You're going to have to press something. You're going to have to push something. In order for your muscles to get stronger, you have to have opposition to them. Resistance.
Yeah.
Resist the devil. And then he'll flee. Submit yourself unto God, unto righteousness. You got to do that. That's not some God. God's not going to fight this battle for you. He's going to put you out on the front line, and you got an area that you have to keep. You have to possess this thing. You have to take possession, and you got to do it yourself. God ain't going to come in here and say, well, I'm just going to float. No, Brother Brown said any old dead thing can float downriver. But you got to have life to go upriver.
That's right.
That salmon, that trout, that tuna, they got to have some life in them.
Amen.
And when they got life in them, when they're pushing, they're going against the resistance. They're going upstream when everything else is floating downstream. When their whole church world is going downstream, you got to push.
Right.
You got to press.
Amen.
You got to keep that he's given unto you.
He'll give you what you need.
He'll give you everything. He'll supply you everything you need to fight with.
Yeah.
Everybody in the Bible always was given everything they needed.
Right. Right.
Joshua needed more time. He stopped the sun.
Yeah.
David needed something to kill the giant with. He gave him a rock.
Right. He faced it. He fought it.
But it had to be him.
Yeah. Yeah.
God didn't come down and finish the fight for Joshua.
No.
God just stopped the sun so Joshua could finish the fight.
Yeah.
God's not going to come down here and finish this race for us.
No,
we got to push, press.
Run.
We got to keep that was given to us.
Amen.
You're going to have some fight about you. Don't be no wet noodle. Stiffen up. Strengthen up. Get stronger.
Amen.
Push this thing. Keep this thing.
Amen.
That's what John was talking about in the book of Revelation. It's not given to the weak. This is not given to the weak-minded. This is not given to somebody that God can't trust. He's trusted the biggest part of his whole message into your hands. The ones he can trust the most to wrap this thing up,
yes,
it's you.
Amen. That's right. Sell yourself short.
Act like you don't have nothing.
Okay.
You got everything you need.
That's right.
He has already provided.
Amen.
Now the book was written, but then rather it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals were not to be opened in Revelation until the sounding of the last angel's message. Angel on earth. Revelations 10 and 7, see? And in the days of the sounding of the voice of the angel's message, the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished in that age. And that age, that's where we're living in. We all know we're living in Laodicea age. There will never be another age to it. It can't be. So we're living in the Laodicean age. And these seven seals that's held the book, the mystery to the people, should be open at that day. That what he promised, now it won't be nothing outside of the word. Because we can't add to the word or take away from it. It's got to remain always the word. But the revelation is the reveal, is to reveal the truth of it, what it is, to make it fit with the rest of the scripture. And then God vindicates that to be the truth, see? God don't need no interpreter. He's his own interpreter. He does his own interpretation by bringing it to pass the things that he said would happen. Like in the beginning, said, let there be light. And there was light. That doesn't need any interpretation. It was vindicated. Now, to wrap up, over here in Revelations chapter 1, there were three things that John said we needed to happen to understand the book of Revelations. He that readeth, they that hear, and they that keep these promises. It's not enough to read the book. You aren't there yet. It's not enough to hear the prophet and the message. It's not enough. But it's in keeping. I remember Brother Childers, we would preach and we'd talk about it in the book of Revelations 1 here. And Brother Childers always reminded us, and keep, and keep, and keep. I can still see him pointing his finger, and keep. Because he wanted to remind us. It's not just saying God's on a prophet. It's not just saying we got a message. You got to keep this thing. And I don't mean you got to work. I'm saying it should become part of you. You should become part of it. You are the keepers of the word. You are the keeper of the last promises of God. So now that he's opened up the book of Revelation, and we clearly see what God has been doing, we can now read it. We have heard it. And now we are keeping it. That's why you're still here. That's why when the rest of the people have fallen off to the left and the right, and the church world's going off over the hill looking for something else, this bride is keeping. She's preserving. Brother Brown said there was food in the storehouse. We're preserving. We're keeping this, what God has given us in this hour. And we're blessed. The people that are keeping this are blessed people. He said, there's not a lot. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be you. As long as God is blessing you with the understanding. And we come here and he talks to us. We get blessed so much, so often. We're just almost, you know, we're like rich kids. We don't know what it is to miss a meal. We don't know what it is to have to decide on how am I going to get to someplace. All you do is tell your father where you want to go, and you walk out the door and the car is waiting on you. You don't know what it is to have to worry about grades, because if you don't get good grades, you'll lose your student job. We don't struggle. We're not struggling this thing. Brother Brown said, this is the end of the struggling nature. We're just resting in this. God's blessed us so much, and we have so much that people marvel. You know, people marvel at rich kids. They do. They stand afar off and they're like, man, look at them. They got this. They got that. They're looking at this. They're looking at that. People stand back and they marvel at you because you are so blessed and so rich. And God has blessed us in so much. Blessed is he that readeth you. And they that heareth the words of this prophecy, you. And keep the things which are written therein, you. Why? For the time is at hand. Now we know what it is. We know what the book of Revelation has given us. The seals are off. The bride knows what it is. What are you going to do? When you get a group of people who knows what it is, can look all the way back and see what it's been and what God has done. Then the rapture can go. Amen. Now you're understanding why in the book of Revelation it's not Jesus saying a bunch of stuff, but the Spirit and the bride say, come. He stands at the door and knocks, and he invites them to come out to him. The final voice to the final age is your voice. And we're sitting here with a perfect knowledge of what John was talking about in Revelation 1, because now we see that the time is at hand. No other time has been like this time. No other day has been like this day. No other people have been like this people. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your truth. Thank you to be able to read, hear, and keep these promises. Thank you for the body of believers that's doing this, and we're not doing it to make you come or make you do something. We're only fulfilling what you already saw in your mind from before the foundation. We cannot help but to do what we're doing. It's just in us. You already saw it happening in our lives, and Lord, we're willing to do it. We're the ones that you saw would hear, read, and keep the promises. And Lord, we've been so blessed to have this understanding. Help us to keep it, press, push, move everything out of the way that tries to take away from your glory. Amen. That you may receive the glory in all things that are happening in our lives. Thank you for this body of believers around the world that's standing for this truth, that's keeping, preserving the promises that's been given to us. And I know the world can't see it, but Lord, this bride sees it, and we can see nothing else. Thank you for what you've done and how you've blessed us. Keep us, Father, until we meet again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glorious, glorious, glorious day. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to give God praise for touching me. For what he does for me, because he's always so good to me. I haven't said anything in a while, so I thought, you know, it's time.
Amen. Give him praise.
It's time to say something because he's so good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, sometimes I get reserved. I kind of stand back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing that, but that's just me, you know, and I want to get out of the way.
Right.
I want to say what God's done for me because he's done so much for me. You know, but you know, I want to praise him for touching my health.
Yeah.
I want to praise him for touching me. I had a really bad fall on April 22nd, the morning of April 22nd. Well, it was so bad that, you know, my hands went down. My hands were all bruised and hurting. My hip, if it hadn't been that I had my work bag on my left side, I think I would have probably broken a hip. Because, you know, it was such a hard fall. But, you know, God took care of me. He watched over me. He protected me. With me having the work bag with my iPad and things were in that, you know, and I fell to the left because my foot caught on the right. You know, my fall went to the left. So the case, you know, protected my hip. Although my hands really took the brunt of the fall, kind of like a cat, you know, when you're falling. But, you know, praise God, I didn't go face forward. You know, I could have been one of those little old people. We see them, John. They're all beat and bruised up. But, you know, I went to the doctor. He straightened my hip all out. So I'm all good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have just a little kink in my hand. I have just a little kink in my neck. You know, everything is good. God
Amen.
Took care of me. He watched Amen. Over me.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to praise God for that healing. Every time I come in here, every time I come in church and I sit, God heals me.
Amen.
He touches me from head to toe. I come in a mess. I leave feeling wonderful, you know, because God restores me.
Amen.
Every time
he restores
me. And I can't give him enough praise for that. You know, one of my sayings has always been, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength. That's my saying. Mm-hmm. Lord, give me strength. So, you know, that is one of the things I say, and God does that. God gives me that strength. He sees me through every obstacle, everything I have to go through. And I definitely don't want to be one of those that don't praise him.
Amen. Give him the praise.
I want to praise him for it because I am one of those fat pigs that, you know, I eat and eat and eat and I'm full. But, you know, I want to give back too. You know, I want to be one that gives back also.
Right.
And God's good to me. And I just want God to know that. And there's so much that I would love to say that I can't remember.
That's all right. He knows. Amen.
Pastor Moore.
Amen.
I just want to praise God too. He's been so good, so why would I not say anything about it?
That's true.
You know, he's always there. He's been there from the very beginning, and he sees around corners,
mm-hmm.
and he tells you the truth about everything.
Amen.
I love like that. I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. And I just thank God for this revelation and what we get here, because it's the truth, and I'm not going anywhere to...
Amen.
Brother Moore.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Man, these greedy. I'm just going to say it real quick. You know, my testimony is for me. And I want to say that I am victorious. I am an overcomer. I haven't told the devil lately. I'm a believer of this word. I'm healed. Everything that he said I am in this day, I am. The spirit and the bride say, come. I am the final voice to the final age. I am. My desire is nothing but hotter to serve the Lord, regardless of how I fail, because he didn't look. He knew it before I did. And I have nothing but a testimony of victory. I'm in it all the way, Pastor Moore. It's not him that's the fastest. It's not the swiftest, but he that makes it to the end. I'm one of those
that endures.
Mm-hmm. I may say something. God opened my eyes to something while we were being preached to, and I mean, I accept everything, but I couldn't wait to get here to make something right. Okay, Sister Moore, I was a bit short with you Thursday night song practice. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that. And so I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Amen.
This is still the truth.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, and I'm not afraid to back, to own up to anything that, mm-mm. you know, my shortcomings.
No.
And so I just want to put it out there, get the devil off my back, and thank God for my victory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank God today. Everything that was just said is what I was going to say. I was going to say, Lord, I just thank you that I can come to a place when I'm wrong, when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
that you see fit, that you saw from the foundation of the world, that you still love me,
right.
that you still chose me, that I would get it right.
Amen.
I might not get it right in my timing. I might not get it right in somebody else's timing, but God's timing is the best timing. And another thing I want to say, too, is right after I got out of here and I tested fight about my leg and my knees. Of course, you know,
mm-hmm.
he was heard, like, oh, is that
you.
Really what you're going to say?
Like, oh,
and I
right.
was like, and you know, and it was so funny because I was like, I'm not going to even call your name. Mm-mm. Your name is not going to even be in my vocabulary anymore.
That's
so
right.
all I'm going to do is speak to it. I'm not going to give you your name.
Mm-mm.
God is so much greater than his name.
That's right.
That's trying to attack me.
That's
so
right.
I was like, I'm not going to even say your name anymore. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the word on it.
Amen.
I said, I stood for the word that day, and I'm standing for the word this day.
That's
I said,
right.
I don't have time for this. I got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was, my leg was fine. I walked on. My sister-in-law called me. She said, oh, she's had a setback. They're going to, they said she has a hole in her heart. They're going to have to. And I was like, I don't have time for that either.
Mm-mm.
I said, I'm not going to even call your name for the one that's trying to attack my family again.
Right.
I'm just going to speak to the situation, that mountain.
Amen.
Because he gave me the power to speak to that mountain.
That's right.
He said, all you have to do is speak to it. He said, that's what I told you to do is speak.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say think about it. He said speak about it. And so I spoke Amen. On that mountain. I said, you got to go.
Yeah.
Got a picture of my niece yesterday at home. Didn't even have to go to the therapy. Didn't have to
Amen.
Do anything. She's at home with her dog. And I was like, you know, God, that is what you want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we Claim something, stand on
it. That's it.
Believe it. Don't keep backing back and say, oh, okay, well, I'm sick today. No.
Mm-mm.
I don't care what you call it. God's got it.
That's right.
And God from the foundation of the world has already healed me. So what I have to do is stand on that healing and believe on it and keep walking.
Right.
And I was just so thankful. And I'm so thankful for this place. I'm so thankful for the revelation because it is a personal revelation.
Yes, it is. Amen. It is a personal revelation.
Let's have one more. I couldn't leave here without identifying. And, you know, something that you said really pricked me. You know, you really will fight for every inch, you know. And when you were saying, well, it's mine, it's all mine. And, you know, I've caught myself saying that once before. And you got to fight for this thing. There's such a push because the pressure that's out there, you got to fight against that.
Mm-hmm.
You even got to fight to testify in here. I waited all service to get up here, and you people are so greedy. I'm going to be mean pretty soon. I'm going to start being mean. You're going to see the ugly side of me pretty soon. But anyway, something that happened to me this week, you know, I felt myself kind of acting like Jonah. You know, when after, you know, God told him, you know, you'll go to Nineveh. He came out of the fish. He preached everything. He still was a little bit nuha, you know, and nuha means upset in Hawaiian. But, and I find myself being that way after I've done every single thing that God's told me to do and overcome all these obstacles. And in my week, I still was upset about how hard I had to push through that all. And I don't ever want to find myself in that position again or that condition because, you know, that's like a spoiled rich kid, you know, to get everything that God's had to give and then you fight and you press and you overcome and you still got a nasty attitude. And that was me this week. And I don't ever want to do that again. So I'm just, I just love what I get here. You know, the word's been nothing but the truth. I agree with every single word, even before you say it. And I'm just grateful to be here.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget, services tonight at 7, Bible study tonight, and God knows what he's doing with us. So,
one more thing. I just want to share with you, maybe it helps somebody. You know, you sit there and you say, oh, I don't say nothing, but the voices in the bride. Okay, here's what it was. I found out I was doing something wrong. One of things. One of many. But that's okay. I hurt my shoulder a little bit ago. It was a while back. I hurt for like 4 months. Doctor said, you have a little bit of arthritis in your shoulder. Okay, that's what he said. So here's mistake number one. I believe you. So then the next thing, that takes you to the next negative step down. Then you start acting on it. Say, what's wrong? Oh, I got this. You're claiming it. This is a reverse thing. You're speaking our powerful words. You're speaking it on you. Then you believe what he said. Then you start acting like it. And then everybody says, well, what's wrong? Then you testify to it. I got this. That's negative. That's going the wrong way. So what if when these things come on us, go the other way? Yeah. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start speaking after the word. Yeah. They said, you have to, that's how you claim it. This may be not no revelation to you. This is revelation to me. You have to claim it, just like you do when you're sick. You get that stuff. When you say, I have it, you're pulling it to you. Mm-hmm. You're pulling it to you. Then you believe it and you act on it. And then when somebody asks you, every time you repeat it, you make that thing stronger on you. So I've been speaking wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking wrong. I want my mountain.
Well, you never get it unless you claim it.
You got it.
That's why half the time when I'm sick, I'll get up and keep moving.
Yes, Lord.
Because you're going to do no good to lay there and remind yourself how sick you are. You don't start moving, and about half the day through the day, you know, we got the day half gone. Now it's like, oh well, I'm not that bad, so you know. But you can claim sickness if you want, but you don't have to. It's like, where do you want people? You want them in? You want them out? What do you want? It's up to you. So claim it. Claim what you want. Right, Kev?
Amen.
couldn't sit there and just not say anything. This revelation is the best. It is, you know. I've been called guilty of just being private. And the reason why I'm private, because, you know, I don't like to give Satan any room. I go through a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I do, just like anybody.
Right.
But Satan's not, he's not going to win. It's no. not. He's not. We have too much word here to sit there and be defeated. Amen. This doesn't make no sense. I mean, you know, when we get here, we're blessed. We are very spoiled. We are. I mean, we get everything we need here, and it's no reason why we should keep our head hung down about what's going on in this life, because mm-hmm. it's going to happen. And like you taught us, you know, the Satan's after the bride. He's got the world. The world's already gone, and right. they don't even know it. But for us, we have an overcome. We have to overcome this. We do. We have to press. We have to push. We have to, because like you said, this is the end time, and we're trying to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So we need everything we need to get to this point. Like, hey, we need all the work we can get out of here. We do. We need it. We just
we need it.
You have to keep pushing. You have to keep get what we need. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I have an ear to hear. And I don't sit there and wonder if it's right or not. It is right.
Amen.
I don't have to think about that. When you guys go preach, I don't even doubt it. Even if, you know, if I sit there and I just don't quite understand it, it's still right. Mm-hmm. It's in God's timing. You'll right. get it eventually, but you have to be patient. And this world is so not patient. You want everything. And I'm guilty of that. I'm very impatient. I am. But God's going to give you, he's going to give you the word you need when it's in his timing. He will. You just got to sit there and just rest in it. Just rest.
Amen.
And I'm telling myself every day, just rest. Just take it easy. God's been dealing with me a lot. Just have patience. And I know that's one thing I have to work on, and I'm getting better with that. And God will reveal what he needs to in just in timing. You just got to be patient. And just know that this word will get you through. Yes, there's no way around it. So
amen.
I just thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight. Come back and see what God has in store for this evening. Amen. There's never been a day like this day. Amen. There's never been a day like this day.
Day to me there.